Deacon Brown over at Greater Mount Bethel. Good evening, everyone. Praise God for our leadership this morning. I heard Bishop, our National President Bishop Jones's voice, and thank you, Bishop Cajole, for allowing us an opportunity to share. Amen. I'm prepared with John 19 and 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." And maybe your version says, "Lord, I thirst." When we think about in the natural, we think about so much of the revelation in the spirit. In the natural, we know that to thirst is a sign of a functioning body. We know that to thirst is it's a normal desire for food. We know that to be thirsty is to be it's a desire. It's an indication of one of our most basic needs of being human. This has been prioritized by Maslow's hierarchy of needs as one of the most basic functions of being, of any being, especially human being. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There's water, there's food, there's physical need for intimacy and homeostasis, or to have a constant environment so that you can flourish. Jesus says, "I thirst." We see here that this part of this story that we use to encourage ourselves, to clue us in about who Jesus was, especially in this very dark time of his ministry. We see that Jesus is on the cross, and in this illustration of inhumane treatment, which would ultimately prove that he was to be divine, we see Jesus saying, "I thirst." And you know what's so special about Jesus saying, "I thirst"? Jesus, at this point of this very dark story, we know, looking back at the cross, that this is a setup, that this is a dramatic climax to a victorious story. But can you imagine Jesus, and can you imagine his disciples and his mother and his contemporaries and those who were in that crowd who really did mean Hosanna? Can you imagine them looking up at the cross? Amen. As we look back at the cross, Jesus nailed to this cross, hands and feet, these same hands that have worked miracles, these same hands that have encouraged, the same hand that was attached to the finger that stooped down and had written something in the mud or in the dirt as he was healing, these same feet that have gone from village to village or town to town, bringing glad tidings and news that God wanted to do something and use people, that there was a kingdom that was at hand. These hands and feet on this cross, this body set out in the sun, hot, sweating, desiring protection and comfort as any human would. This Jesus witnesses the worst of humanity as he sees his belongings parted. He has to come to grips with that the ultimate bond on earth, a man and his mama, has to be resolved and has come to, and he's come to terms of the finality of that special relationship. This Jesus uttering a word, "I thirst." Theologians say that this thirst that Jesus had was his desire to see men saved. And I appreciate that take. But I'm thankful for the thirst of Jesus. I'm thankful for the standard, or a plumb line, if you will, in my own personal ministry. And I hope that we would see this word, this phrase uttered, "I thirst," as our standard in our earthly ministry, as a barometer or a plumb line in our earthly ministry. Jesus used to heal lame men, blind men, lepers, a woman with an issue of blood, This Jesus, used by God to feed multitudes, was able to be thirsty. I'm thankful that he was at that point still a man just like me and a man just like you. Thankful that despite all he had done in his earthly ministry, as miraculous and wonderful and as divine as it was, as anointed as he was, that he still had the propensity to have experienced the same physical need as us, that he was thirsty. Now, that's in the natural, but in the spiritual, to know that Jesus has been at the top of ministry, he has moved in a way where it was undeniable that God was using him, he still had a spiritual thirst. We see here as Jesus throughout his ministry has gone up and down, that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, there's self-actualization, there's the family bonds and relationships that he has said, I have to leave my mother and my father, and I can't have the same things that you all have. I can't have a place to lay my head. But now we see Jesus at a point in his ministry, as anointed and miraculous and filled with signs as it was, we see Jesus at a point where he has been reduced to the most basic desire that a human being could have. And he says, Lord, I thirst. I'm thankful for that thirst because even in the spirit, it's teaching us that in our earthly ministry, and many of us will, and hopefully none of us will have to be crucified physically. None of us will be pierced in our side. Our hands and our feet won't be nailed to planks of wood. We won't be left out in the sun to die. We won't see people parting up and celebrating our death and taking our belongings and dividing them up and mocking at us and spitting at us and laughing at us as we get ready to transition from this world. Hopefully it'll be in a dignified manner. But I'm so thankful to know that Jesus, who has done all these things, has this very basic desire for physical water. But in his spirit, I just believe that Jesus was saying, Lord, I thirst. I still thirst. I still desire, at the end of the day, the most basic building block of how I've been created is to do your will and to see your will fulfilled. I want to challenge us to use this I thirst, this desire, this innate basic desire that Jesus has honed in his earthly ministry to be jealous of God's way. He says, my desire is to do the will of them, of him who has sent me. My challenge, or I want to encourage us to use this as a standard, to use this as a barometer. When we're seemingly at the climax of our ministry, when we're up high and we've preached or when we've sang or sung a song or when we've taught a lesson, when we've been used by God, even in the evangelistic feat, I pray that we maintain that basic desire as spiritual beings to thirst for the will of God, to be in the will of God as Jesus did here. I'm thankful to know that Jesus, of all the things that he could have done, we say often that he could have gotten down off that cross, he could have had angels to come and to get him off that cross, but he desired, he saw it through because he desired to do the will of God. He desired to be in the will of God. He desired to be used of God. Amen. Our challenge today is to stay thirsty. It's to stay thirsty, which ought to be the basic need of any spiritual being, is to do the will of God, to be full of God. And then when we've been emptied, or when we've emptied ourselves, to say, Lord, I thirst. I want fresh water from you. I want a fresh word from you. God, I feel like the signs and the wonders are following me, but I want to hear your voice to know that I'm doing exactly what it is that you've told me to do. I want to stay on task. Lord, I thirst. My challenge this morning, this evening, is to take inventory of our personal ministries. I know that we'll go to our churches, we'll go down to the church at the drop of a hat. I know that we desire to see our church membership rosters full. I know that we desire to see the program of the mechanics or the method in which we do church executed in a way that it makes us feel good. We're humans. We look for those type of things. But I want to encourage us and to challenge us to really think about our basic desire. What is it that we thirst for? Do we thirst to do the will of God? Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing short of what God has called us to do. I want us to be encouraged tonight. I want us to be uplifted tonight. That if you know that your desire is to do nothing but the will of God, no matter how it looks, no matter how strange it may be, no matter what place you've been appointed to, what space you've been resigned to, Jesus is giving us a standard and a plumb line for how to serve in our earthly ministry, and that's to stay thirsty, amen, to allow ourselves to thirst, amen. You all be encouraged tonight. Father, we ask that you would help us, God, to remain thirsty. Help us, God, to keep our desires in check. That our local congregations, oh God, would be thirsty. Help us to keep our ministry plans and agendas and our goals in check. That they would be in your perfect will and not your permissive will. Not things that we throw up to you and we just hope that you bless. But Lord, we want to be thirsty to do all that you will have us to do. Lord, we're thirsty for divine healing in our congregations, sick bodies around us, oh God. God, we're thirsty to see young men and young women saved, oh God. Not to sit on our pews, but Lord, to go out into the kingdom, to go out into the field, oh God, and to compel others to come. God, we're thirsty, God, to see those on our prayer list, those that we've been interceding for, oh God, to give themselves over to you, to walk with you in a real way, oh God. Lord, we're thirsty to give ourselves over to you, God, according to the word, oh God. We're thirsty to go deeper in our word. We're thirsty, God, to go higher, as our song says, in the school of wisdom, to have discernment, to give ourselves to the spiritual gifts, to give ourselves to all the things that you've already designed us to walk in, oh God. Help us to remain thirsty in your way, oh God. Lord, help us to not be thirsty for the vainglories of the world, oh God. Lord, we see ministries on YouTube, oh God, and sometimes we use them as a standard, oh God, a barometer for who we ought to be, what we ought to be doing. But God, we ask, God, that you would help us to be thirsty for your plan. Help us to be thirsty for your way, for your righteousness, oh God. Lord, we love your name, and we thank you for calling us to it. We know that you're faithful, and you will also do it. And so, God, we thank you tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop.